to turn our hearts to the preaching of the word tonight. Brother Heath is going to come and minister to us. Amen. Let's stretch forth our hands tonight and ask the Lord to minister to Brother Heath and to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, anoint your minister tonight. Lord, we know your word will never return void. So we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you're about to do in the remaining of this service, Lord. Amen.
Isn't that great? That's my high point, I think, of every Wednesday night service is the youth choir. Sister Tricia comes up with some songs that are beautiful, and they make you think. And even that one tonight, I just, as they were singing that, some of the things that are linked with holiness I never really thought about before. Faithful and true. Those are a part of being holy. Amen. Well, I stand before you tonight. I'm not going to try and fill Brother Hurst's shoes. To me, that'd be kind of like trying to have Owen, you know, my grandson, fill Brad's shoes. That'd be a big shoes to fill. Let me tell you a little bit about myself tonight. I'm somewhat of a calendar preacher. By that, it means I like to preach things that are kind of current on the calendar as we go through the year. And holidays, special occasions that are on the calendar, I like to take that as an opportunity to base a sermon around them. And that's going to be true tonight. We're in the month of October. Anybody want to guess what occasion I might speak about tonight? Halloween. Good guess, but it's wrong. This is a more recent thing. It's been part of the calendar. You have to speak up louder. It must be hearty. Sweetest Day. Oh, that is coming up, isn't it? Was that the 20th? Is that this week? Whoa. Obviously, I wasn't thinking about that. October. This one started in 1994, and it's not a one-day event. It's a whole month. It's a month of October thing. Huh? No. You guys are all on a different wavelength than me. This occasion was promoted by Focus on the Family. I think they were the ones to kind of begin this. Get any idea yet? Pastor Appreciation Month. Yeah. I hope you don't forget that. And I think the 28th. All right. That's the whole month of October. And here at the church, I think we're going to do one day. One Sunday, a special Pastor Appreciation. Brother Mike, if you could bring up that cartoon. What would it be like to be in the pastor's shoes? Take a while to look at that cartoon. Get the imprint there. The pastor is sitting in the pew, and all the members of the congregation are behind pulpits. That's turning the tables, huh? My aim tonight, and if Brother Mike, you want to go to the title, like to do some musings on pastors and congregations tonight. And my aim tonight would be to have this congregation to esteem the position of a pastor and his role as being a gift from God. And the thing would be that pastors are God's gift to the church as a shepherd to care for God's congregation. You know where we can find the word pastor in the Bible? This amazed me when I started studying this. There is only one verse in all 66 books that uses the word pastor, singular. Wow, now there's a real Bible scholar. It's in Jeremiah. And there is one place where it uses the word pastors, the plural. You know where that one is? Ephesians. Huh? Good man back there. I'd like to read tonight. This is going to be our text tonight. Ephesians 4:11. We'll start with the more common one. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Then the other verse is Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 16. And this is Jeremiah speaking in this verse. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. You know, God has provided for his church. He's provided for his church extraordinary things. He's provided for his church ordinary things. He's provided for his church things that involve planting. He has provided for his church things that involve the perpetuation of the church. He's provided for the extension of the church. And he's provided for the edification of the church. Now, Christ's provision for the church is through people in specific positions. And as we read there in Ephesians, he mentioned these as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, all of these positions are valid and worthy, but there is a special synergy between a pastor and his congregation. And the relationship in Scripture is analogous as a shepherd with his sheep. Probably the most common passage that we could illustrate this would be from Psalms 23. And I like to read Psalms 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I got to confess, this verse here always confused me, that first verse. When I was young, you know, you always hear this verse quote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in my child mind, I would say, why wouldn't anybody want the Lord to be their shepherd? That's how I thought about this verse. Of course, that's not what the verse means. But it does say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But it's in the sense of, I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, or I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right. There in Psalm chapter 23, we have a shepherd who cares for his sheep. It includes feeding. It includes leading. That means he finds the essential elements that the sheep need. It includes restoration if they wander away, and it includes safe passage through dangerous places. So Psalm 23 is a psalm of a sheep expressing his appreciation to his shepherd. And as we noted, October, it's not designated as Apostle Appreciation Month. It's not Prophet Appreciation Month. It's not Evangelist Appreciation Month or Teacher Appreciation Month. No, this month is set aside as Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, any of those other months, they would be valid and worthy, but there is something special between a pastor and his congregation. Have you thought about what it means to appreciate? We're talking about pastor appreciation. What does it mean to appreciate? When I want to understand a word, I usually go to the dictionary to get a good definition. I went to Random House Unabridged Dictionary, and I found there that it listed five definitions for this word, appreciate. And it would be proper and fitting for the pastor of this church to be the object of all five of these definitions. So I'd like to go through these. Number one, the first definition I found there was to be grateful for. To appreciate is to be grateful for. Now, Pastor Appreciation Day for Union Pentecostal Church is when? October 28th. It'll be a week from Sunday, okay? Now, that's a very good day to show our pastor appreciation, but that should not be the only day to show pastor appreciation and to speak thanks to the pastor and his family. Now, the second definition I found there was to place in high estimation. Not only do we need to be thankful, but we also have to put a great value on what he does if we want to appreciate the pastor. You know, pastors do not get that value from our culture much anymore. And it used to be a position of respect to be a pastor, but a lot of times now it's degenerated, especially in Hollywood and on TV and so. He's not going to get it from culture. If he's going to get a high estimation of the value of his work, it's going to have to come from you and I. Haddon Robinson was asked, what discourages a pastor or a preacher? And his reply was, when people watch TV 24 hours a week and spend an hour listening to God's word, how can we compete? You can place a high value on the pastor's ministry by not asking him to compete. Now, when you're in service, when you're in church, be all there. You know, if a pastor sees headphones on someone, he's probably thinking he's competing. Or if he sees someone looking at a smartphone, he probably feels like he's competing. Or if someone's balancing their checkbook, he probably feels like he's competing. Or if someone's reading Sunday school papers, he probably feels like he's competing. Or if someone's texting, he feels like he's competing. Or if they're playing games, even if it is Angry Birds, he probably feels like he's competing. We can show our pastor appreciate him by putting a high estimation on his work. And when we're in church, let's be all there. Yes. Yes. You'll be amazed how much better the pastor will preach if he senses we're all there and soaking it in. Amen. The third definition that was there is to be fully conscious of. Some pastors were discussing why they love and hate the ministry. One reason given for hating the ministry was a sense of loneliness. A pastor said that you can work your heart out and no one seems to care or take notice. We can appreciate our pastor by letting him know from time to time that we have noticed his efforts, especially when they go beyond the call of duty. Now, definitions 4 and 5 were similar, so I kind of just lumped them together as one. They were to raise or to increase in value. And that's something I would like to help you to do tonight, is to help you to increase the value of our pastor. You know, sometimes you can decrease his value inadvertently. Stuart Briscoe was discussing what discourages a preacher. He said one of the things was that after service, in which I poured out my heart and dealt with profoundly eternal issues, people immediately confronted me with, well, now, how about the 49ers, which was the local major pro football team? You know, it's hard to make that transition from eternal things and immediately jump to football. And if that's the first question of our mind to the pastor after he just preached a sermon, he's probably wondering, where have they been? All right. You know, he said, after I preach, I would like people to refrain for at least 1 hour before they come to me and discuss mundane things. We can increase the value of our pastor by recognizing that. Stuart Briscoe also said that he was preaching for a week of meetings, and the only question that he received after that preaching was from an older woman who'd been in the front row pew every night that he was preaching for that week. And at the end of the week, this was her question: is them your own teeth? Stuart Briscoe said he was tempted to go back to banking, which was his previous occupation, after that question. You know, we can increase the value and appreciation for our pastor by asking some good questions after the sermon. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but what is a pastor? And as I was preparing for this, it caused me to reflect on my own experience with pastors. Of course, probably many of you know that I'm a PK, you know, that means preacher's kid. My dad was a pastor. And so I've had a long relationship with a pastor who was also my father. When I began to date and marry a girl, she also was a PK, who was a pastor of a church in a different denomination. And he became like a second pastor to me, as well as a father-in-law. And he helped me to appreciate that each pastor's ministry has its own distinctive value. His ministry was different from my father's, but it was of value. Now, after we got married, we had a little dilemma. Of course, her father had a church. My father had a church. And when we get married, where do we go to church? So we solved that problem by going to neither church. I had a friend from Bible school who was my roommate, who was working in a small church. It was nearby. So we went to that church to try and help him out and also solve the problem of the two other churches. So I had a Bible school roommate who was my pastor for a few months. When we went to Africa and worked as missionaries, I was in the role many times as a missionary pastor with national pastors, almost became like a pastor of pastors in that sense. We came back from Africa, went to Free Gospel Bible Institute, and I was teaching there some who would become pastors, who are pastors today, who sat in my class as I taught them. In the last 20 years, my role has been similar to most of yours. My relationship with a pastor has been being as a church member and sometimes as a deacon. I've even had the experience of being pastorless. That's not a good feeling, to be in a pastor where the pastor leaves, there's no other pastor there to immediately take his place. Being pastorless is like a sheep without a shepherd. It's not a good position to be in. And in that experience, I was in a place where the congregation was basically looking to me as a fill-in pastor. But I really have never been a pastor. So what is a pastor? Well, as I mentioned before, I was taught in school that when you want to define a term, you go to the dictionary. So guess what I did? I went to the dictionary. And I found this word pastor comes from the Middle English and Old French, has a Latin root, which means to feed. A pastor is one who feeds, and of course making reference to a shepherd. I also went to Knave's Topical Bible and looked under the listing for pastor, and guess what it said? See shepherd. You have to go look under shepherd to find what a pastor means. I opened up my quick verse and did a search on the word pastor, and I found it used only once in Scripture. And as it was mentioned, it's in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 16. I'd like to read it again. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Jeremiah, in this verse, is in the middle of a personal communication with God. We see here Jeremiah in his pastoral role. He was not just a prophet, but he also was, by his own words, he considered himself a pastor. One of the roles of a pastor is to be a communicator. More specifically, a pastor is a communicator in the sense of a translator. Haddon Robinson said the toughest part of preaching is to get people past you to God, and God passed you to the people. See, translating is a great skill. And the key to the translating process is precision. Now, you can talk to missionaries, and any missionary you talk to who has used translators can tell you stories of imprecise translation. I mean, that has a when the translation is not accurate, the message gets real muddled real fast. I remember a fellow missionary I worked with. He was preaching a sermon about Jesus in the ship. And the whole time he was preaching that sermon, he found out later that translator was translating it Jesus in the sheep. And I don't know what the people got out of that message. Must have been some wet sheep. But to translate with precision, the translator has to listen carefully. And this is crucial of that of a pastor. Like Jeremiah, a pastor must spend personal time with God. You know, church, it is to our benefit that we allow and even encourage and structure our expectations of our pastor so that he can have the time necessary to spend time to listen to God. That's how we can show some of our appreciation to him. Now, Jeremiah in this verse is in a personal talk with God. And he appeals to the Lord to give him endurance. He says, I have not hastened from being a pastor. Jeremiah was telling God, I'm not quitting. But obviously the thought is there. You know, thousands of pastors quit every year. Jeremiah felt the pressure of the ministry. I mean, he had quite a rough church to pastor. His congregation did all they could to make him weary of his work. They would exasperate him and make him feel uneasy and tempt him to change his message out of fear of displeasing them. So Jeremiah tells the Lord, you know what I've done. I have not left my work or sought for a discharge. But in spite of the office exposing him to reproach and contempt and injury, he kept on being a shepherd. What is a pastor? Pastors are shepherds to people. They are to feed them the good word of God. But we need to remember, they are pastors of God. We call them our pastors, but really they're not our pastor. They are God's pastors, God's gift to us. They are to follow God and the directions and instructions he gives. Such a pastor Jeremiah was. And although he met with much difficulty and discouragement, he didn't fly off as Jonah did or seek to be excused from going on any more of God's errands. Jeremiah, as a godly pastor, was able to keep up his love to his people. They were abusive to him, but he was compassionate to them. His message of judgment on Israel would be a vindication for him. If what he prophesied about came true, it would prove that he was a real prophet. But he wished it would never come true. This is the paradox of a pastoral ministry. Although we warn of judgment day, we must not wish for it, but we weep because of it. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He didn't want to see all his prophecies become true on God's people. He wanted them to change. And this sometimes is the fear of preaching. What will happen to my people if they fully accept what I preach? Will they lose their jobs, friends, families? Will it cause problems in their marriage? Didn't Jesus feel this tension when he said, think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. At times, the word of God that is preached faithfully and fully accepted will bring great pain and hardship. So the pastor must wrestle with the cost the people will have to pay to apply what he is saying. But Jeremiah was that faithful pastor. He was able to keep closely to God's instructions. If he had softened his message, he might have gained the people's favor, or at least diminished their displeasure. But instead, he delivered God's message faithfully. This church needs a godly and a faithful pastor. I believe we have one. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which is the only place in the New Testament that the word pastors is found, he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And again, the meaning is shepherd. And the role of the shepherd is a rewarding role. There is no more worthwhile or life-changing vocation than being able to effect a life even for eternity. I've done some amount of preaching in my life, and I have with me here two cards. Like I said, I've never been a pastor, but I've done some preaching. And I have two cards here that are probably 20 years old. And in these cards, they are expressions of thanks for something I preached that changed their life. You know, you don't know, I've kept these for 20 years. Right? Church, we need to let our pastor know the impact he is having. A pastor's reward from work is often hard to see. He is like a farmer. So many times you can't see anything happening from week to week. Spiritual growth many times takes place under the surface. Our pastor will treasure any signs that he is making a difference. And he may only know that difference if you tell him he's making a difference. A pastor has to keep on even when there are no signs of the harvest. Jake Kessler, who worked with Youth for Christ in his early ministry, talked about years later he was at a PTA meeting. And in this PTA meeting, two individuals came up to him and told him how he had influenced them in making the most important decision of their life to follow Christ. 30 years before. 30 years after he did the action, did he hear about the reply and the good that he did? That's a long time to wait for harvest. And if we can help our pastor in appreciation more, if we let him know he's making a difference in our lives. And if the music want to come up, we just got one more point we'd like to make before we ask the church to come to pray. You know, this church needs, has, and it needs to continue to have an enduring pastor. Some years ago, the world watched as three gray whales were icebound off of Point Barrow, Alaska. These three gray whales were floating, battered and bloody, and they were gasping for breath in the hole of an ice. Their only hope was to somehow be transported 5 miles past the ice pack to the open sea. So rescuers began to cut a string of breathing holes about 20 yards apart in the 6-inch thick ice. For 8 days, they coaxed the whales from one hole to the next, mile after mile. Along the way, one of the trio of the whales vanished and was presumed to be dead. But finally, with the help of a Russian icebreaker, the whales swam to freedom. You know, church, we have a pastor who keeps providing times when we can inhale from the breath of God. We have a pastor that will lead us from breathing hole to breathing hole until we're home at last. And church, we need to follow him. We need to appreciate him. In fact, as we come to the altar to pray tonight, I wish you would do that. Meditate with God in some way you can show your appreciation to the pastor in a very personal way. It may be in the form of a card where you'd write something very specific to him. Maybe it'd be a text message to him, an email. As I mentioned to one person in this church, they said, well, you know, they really love Brother Hurst. I said, well, put that in a card and put something green in with it. Put some, back those words up with some real action. Amen. As we come to pray tonight, let's thank God for the pastor that we do have. And let's ask God to tell us some way that we can show him our appreciation that will be meaningful to him. Would you like to come and pray tonight?
words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leads.